Asian Pop Nation on Sin 90.7.
Welcome to Asian Pop Nation. Hope you're all doing okay on this terribly rainy Tuesday night. If you've never listened to the show before, APN is the resident Asian pop culture and pop music show here on Sin. The main people you'll be hearing from tonight are Lee and Leisha, but Ethan and I will also be popping in for a couple segments. We started the show tonight with Midas Touch by Kiss of Life, which is definitely one of the best K-pop songs of the year so far. Leisha describes this track as a song that Bratz Dolls would strut down the catwalk to, and she's so right. I would highly recommend checking out the music video for this track, by the way. They poured a lot of budget into this one, and it's very visually sumptuous. I'm rooting so hard for Kiss of Life. Can you tell? After Midas Touch, we played another tasty, sassy R&B track called Ring Finger by K-R&B artist Shirt featuring Gist. These guys are always collaborating with each other and they're always coming out with bangers. So yes, tonight's show has had a very R&B heavy start. This ties in with some of the topics we're going to be discussing on the show. Leisha is going to be talking about her experience at the inaugural Sold Out Fest, which recently came to Melbourne. That's Sold, spelled S-O-U-L-E-D. Very nice pun. This is apparently the first ever R&B focused music festival in Australia, and it features several Asian names such as Twee. Speaking of whom, Lee will also be doing a little story time segment about attending Twee's sold out sideshow at the Nightcat in Fitzroy. Apart from concerts, Melburnians have also been very busy with the annual International Comedy Festival returning once again to the city. We'll be giving a quick rundown of Asian acts performing at the festival this year. After that, we'll be discussing the Korean reality TV show Physical 100, and finally wrap up the show with a general reflection on some of our favourite Asian things from the first quarter of 2024 to celebrate the end of season one. Our radio station, by the way, runs on a four-season system, which follows the Victorian school year. So if you hear us talking about seasons, that's what we're referring to. As season one is ending this week, we'll be returning for season two with a new show on the 23rd of April. Speaking of eagerly anticipating future events, we will now be playing a B-side track from Tomorrow by Together, which is called I'll See You There Tomorrow. You're listening to Asian Pop Nation on Sin. The last three songs we've just played were I'll See You Tomorrow by TXT, Beautiful Maze by Drippin, and finally we played a debut from a new girl group, Locked On by VV Up. If you're tuning in right now, you're probably a K-pop fan, but if you also happen to be a fan of R&B, then you're in luck, because right now, as promised, Leisha will be talking through her experience at the recent Melbourne stop of Australia's first ever music festival dedicated to R&B and soul music, the Sold Out Fest.
Last year, we covered a certain festival that was coming to Australia called the Sold Out Festival. At the time of recording a week ago, one of our dear APN members actually attended that festival, and that was Leisha.
Whoa!
Please tell us this festival.
Hey, girl. Yeah, no, that was like ages ago that we talked about that festival. So it's very surreal to, I felt like back then when we talked about it, it was just us being like, no way this is even happening. Like something is going to get canceled. Given the current scene of like the Australian festival scene in general, where festivals are getting canceled left, right, and center, it is crazy that Sold Out made it and it happened and I saw it and I'm like sitting here now yapping about it to y'all. Oh my gosh. But I guess like for a little recap, if you're not aware of what Sold Out is, basically this festival was kind of like the big talk of the town last year, even as to this year, because it was kind of dubbed Australia's like first ever R&B dedicated music festival. I would say if you're not aware of the music festival scene in Melbourne, let's just say R&B music is not on the forefront. It's typically more EDM, rave type of music, even like pop music. And we've covered festivals in the past as well. I think like Sonica last year, which was like Asian music focused. And it's cool to see, like, I would say different genres now getting, like, their own individual spotlight in festivals. And clearly you can see the demand with the amount of people who are, like, hyping it up online and actually going to these festivals. And Sold Out is just another festival that we want to chat about here, highlight it a bit. And, hey, show that there is a demand for this sort of stuff. We need more variety in the festival scene. Even though I know the festival scene may look like it's dying here, but it's not. And this festival is proof that it's not dying. And I'm here to tell why. But yes, lightly said, I went specifically, of course, to the Melbourne one, which happened back on the 29th of March. It was at Caribbean Park. I basically want to talk more about the festival, kind of what was happening. Obviously, here at APN, we like to highlight Asian talent. So, of course, that is where I'm going to shine a spotlight on first. And specifically, I wanted to talk about the three Asian acts that were there in this lineup. So the three Asian acts that were there was the Asian Australian artist Lara Andalo. And then after that, we also had two Asian American artists, so specifically Twi and Umi. And oh my God, when I said I was jaw drop gagged, that was me, that entire festival, but especially for these girlies. I would say firstly with Lara, I personally unfortunately didn't get to see her perform because they're all external reasons with parking and venue and all that stuff. The way that obviously festivals work, they have like set times and hers was really like early. I would say like her set started like 10 or 20 minutes after the doors open, which I think is a little bit unfair, not gonna lie, because there's like a long line to get in. These are all like the early bird people who are trying to get like the front of the front. 20 minutes is not enough to like actually properly get in the venue, get your tickets checked, go through security, walk into venue, and walk all the way to the stage area, which is not like directly next to the gates, you know? So I feel like they could have given her a little bit of a leeway, different time slot. I felt like they robbed her a little bit, but I did check out some of her music. And I would say if you're somebody who really likes very boss bitch music, she serves on that front, in my opinion. I would highly recommend her stuff, especially, again, you want to support a local Asian R&B act, give her her flowers, please, because I don't think this festival did her justice. I saw like clips of her performing on the sold out like Instagram stuff. She had her own backup dancers. She had the full set. And I could tell she definitely was prepared to do like a full length performance. And I'm so mad that I could not see it. But I wanted to talk about the two other Asian acts that I did get to see. Firstly, Twi. Oh, Twi, I was so excited to see her because I did my homework and her music has just been something I gravitated towards as of like recently. So she's been like a very recent fave of mine. However, I was having a lot of trouble in the parking and security end of the spectrum. And she was one of the acts that was early on the set. So I would say she only performed around like 5 songs in her entire set. And I heard half of the third one and fully of like the last two. It breaks my heart because I love her so much. And I could literally hear one of my favorite songs from her is Obsessed. And I could hear her performing it when I was getting out of the car in the parking. I could just hear it from the far abyss. And Lee, I was like crying internally. I was like, girl, that's my favorite song. No.
I went to a concert.
I know. I'm so regretful about that, especially because with this festival, so many of the artists, they came down not just for this festival, but to do their own concert or their own mm-hmm. after parties. And I'm like, I should have gone for one of these. But yeah, no, I only managed to see like a bit, like the last bit of her set. But oh my God, I would say like till now, her vocals to me are such a standout from that entire festival. And she also, I love when artists do this, especially in like festival settings. It's just like, I don't know, so precious when they like pop off the stage to interact with all the fans in the front and all that stuff. It was so cute. I think it was during her, when she was doing Girls Like Me Don't Cry, which is like her most popular song. I freaking love that song so much. I wish I was all the way in the front. But no, she was so good. Her vocals, like vocally, I think she gave like the best performance that entire day. No backing track, no nothing. She was just singing from that mic and girl, she was good at it. And my friend that I went to the festival with also agreed like right after that we were like, we need more. That's just the general consensus we have for the festival for any of the acts that weren't the headliners. Beautiful, perfect, amazing. Oh my gosh. But the other Asian act I wanted to talk about is Umi. Oh my gosh. Umi is an artist that, like, I've always just listened to her stuff, like Love Affair, Remember Me, Butterfly. Like, I've just always listened to those songs.
Me like, too.
Exactly. Like, they've always been on my playlist. It's just like an artist that I'm like, oh. Especially when I was in uni, her music was so good for like studying.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Studying days.
They're like chill. Like,
yeah. So, so nice and so chill. So she is one of the artists that I genuinely am like jaw drop shocked that I even saw live, because I would never think she would ever come down to Australia full stop, let alone down Melbourne. Under. Down under. But she did. And she was so precious. And she definitely, like Lee, what you said, like very chill vibes. I think she was able to bring that chill vibe into this festival context as well. She made everyone do like mini meditations.
Oh,
basically, literally got people to like, she's like, okay, close your eyes and like breathe in, 1, 2, 3, breathe out. And then she did that like three times. And then she even had a part where she was asking people to like, okay, think about like all the stress or like stuff that you're really angry about, like clench it in your fist, put it up in the air, and then just like throw it out as we're singing the chorus part of this song.
Wait, that sounds so chill and cool. What the heck?
Yeah, stop it. Like, her whole like stage to me was just like precious, like so healing as well. I was like, oh my gosh, girl knows that her music is meant to be very chill. And but yeah, I love that part where she did it. I was so surprised because she like came on a stage, she's like, hey guys, wearing like a cute flowy skirt. And she was like, okay, I like to start out with just like some meditation. I was like, it was cute. It was so nice. I would say like very needed, especially if you're like a pit person having to stand there for like a bajillion hours. You probably needed that so bad. Mm-hmm. But she was so great. Love hearing her stuff live. And she even did a cover of SZA Snooze with people like ate up.
Oh my god. Bruh. Wait. I kind of regret not going now.
Yeah, Lee. You should have been there. I loved every bit of this festival, but obviously, especially my Asian girlies who were killing it on stage. Fingers crossed that this festival, you know, will keep going on and on next year and the year after. Praying, please. And that we can see more amazing talents who are, you know, repping the R&B genre, but especially Asian artists, because I loved every second of it and I would do it again.
Maybe not be more Australian Asian.
Yeah, no, artists. True. I think they really need to like step it up way more on that. Have a nice balance of the two, you know? Shout out to my non-Asian faves though, to Nashe, Lucky Day, Bryson Tiller, gagged, cried. Everything not okay, but yes, this festival was crazy. Loved every second of it. Lee, you should have been there, and if you listener weren't there, you should have been there too. But yes, that's my little chit chat about Sold Out. If you guys went, let me know. I wanna hear all the little tidbits. I love to yap about this festival to more people.
You're listening to Asian Pop Nation on Sin, where we've just played three jams. These were Jammy by Otis Lim featuring Tharma, Broken by Milena from her EP Foggy, and finally Lua by IM of Monster X. All three of those tracks come from Korean artists, and all three of these tracks are decidedly R&B. As teased in our previous segment on the Sold Out Festival, tonight we will be discussing Vietnamese-American R&B singer Twee's recent sideshow in Melbourne. But before that, we're going to be discussing another big Melbourne event, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Okay, so we've just ended March and we are entering April. What does that mean? It means it's another year, another Melbourne International Comedy Festival. This comedy festival seems to pop up every year just as it's starting to get like really cold and really wet and everyone's starting to get seasonal depression. So I guess we're here to give you a guide and a lowdown on all the Asian, not all the, but some Asian acts that we would recommend you go see at the festival.
This comedy festival, like my info of what the International Comedy Festival used to be, is predominantly just like a very traditional sense of comedians, like people who have lived and breathed as a stand-up comedian. But nowadays, it's a lot of like almost like content creators that make like funny content online on the internet, and they get to have their own show type of thing. I've seen, I've seen a bunch, like that guy who, I don't know if you guys see, this is a very like Melbourne niche thing, but there's like a guy who always does videos about like talking about quirky little things that happen only in Melbourne and goes down in the nitty gritty of why that happens. He's having his own comedy show.
Oh, Julian O'Shea?
Yeah. He's having his own show there.
He's doing like, he's like an educational.
Yeah, that's why. I was like, that's so interesting. When I was like scrolling, I was like, wow, there's so many like faces of people I see online more that are having their like comedy shows on the sphere, including, for example, like Jenny Tian, which I know we've interviewed her last year. That's how I've been familiarized. But also that Tracy has already been to one of her shows. Aha, with Xenia.
Oh. Yes, I did. I got to go to her show this Tuesday, actually. And yeah, we had a good time. It was at Acme, so opposite Flinders Street Station. Yeah, it was a lot of her show was about like a short retrospective of her life between like uni and now. So she goes through like the whole process of her working her dead end corporate job and then starting to make TikTok videos and then starting to like do brand sponsorships, and eventually like she sort of goes through the progression of her career, which is interesting. Yeah, I definitely recommend her. And at the end of her set, she actually shouted out a couple of other Asian comedians that she recommended to the to the audience. So there's a guy called Harry Jun who has a show called Watermelon Licking. And Harry Jun is, I believe, from Sydney. His show incorporates like cartoons, like animated cartoons and stuff, and he interacts with them, which is kind of cool. And there's also a guy called Kevin Jin that Jenny Tian does like a video podcast with, and he's doing his own show called Comedy Duo. He actually, I think, directed Jenny Tian's last comedy special, which was Picture This. And I really enjoyed Picture This. In general, there's a lot of people who are coming down who are like, I guess, staples of the Melbourne International Comedy Fest. I would say Aaron Chen is like always there. He's good because he's like actually like, he's very original, I think. Like, a lot of comedians are, like, some very obviously inspired by other comedians, or you watch a show and you're like, I've heard these jokes before, done in a similar way. But Aaron Chen is entirely, like, his own being. I also like the way he approaches race. Like, he talks about it very naturally. He doesn't feel the need to sort of, like, like talk to all the people in his audience and have to, like, explain, like, hey, you know, so I'm like a wacky Asian person. We Asians do this wacky Asian thing. But like, he doesn't have to do that. He's very normal about it. I guess another staple would be Lizzie Hu. I think He Huang as well. And I just keep on seeing, like, I think she's like, she performs at like one of the comedy clubs in the city every week. And I see her name plastered
on
front, like, gate, not front door. I'm like, huh. So it'd be interesting to see her. It's like, He Huang is like an actual, like, she's from the mainland. So she's got like a different perspective. She's not just like an ABC. And we have APN's favorite comedian, Jason Leung.
No.
We interviewed a while ago. Yeah. I guess the last couple of things I wanted to plug was, if you're not really sure about who you want to watch, you can always go to see a showcase. So, like, basically it's like a group of comedians and they do shorter sets, but you see more of them, more comedians. So you can sort of see, you can sort of try out a few, you know, see who you like. There's a rotating lineup called the Crazy Funny Asians, which runs Tuesdays to Thursdays and also weekends. And they just have a lineup of like three random Asian comedians, which seems fun, like a wild card. And I also wanted something that's kind of interesting this year is that there are a bunch of non-English shows. So we want to shout out, there's like there's one of like in Mandarin of like comedians from Taiwan, and there's one in Cantonese by a guy called Chan Lok Tim. And there's also another Cantonese one. This dude called Vivek Mabubani has a show called Indian Comedian Cantonese Comedy.
Vivek, oh wait, that's so that sick.
There's actually a decent amount of Indian people in Hong Kong. I think it would be actually really interesting to see him because I can kind of understand Cantonese. He definitely speaks better Cantonese than I do though.
Oh, yeah. Girl.
I was just going to be like, oh, maybe I can book tickets for my parents because they speak Cantonese.
I think that's why, like, they want to get because, you know, it's no secret that the main demographic of the Melbourne International Comedy Fest is people, like, our parents.
The older demographic. Really
it's the older demographic, the people who would be going to theater shows and such. So I think they did these Chinese shows also because they want to get the Chinese parents in, because they're not going to come to the English shows, you know?
No, oh my gosh. I'm very curious, Tracy, if there are like any, I mean, obviously, APN love to highlight Asian acts, of course, but I'm curious, you know, your one token non-Asian pick that you want to really see in this festival. Like, who would it be?
Yes, I do have a non-Asian token pick, and his name is Adrian Bliss. Not only a white person, but a man at that. A man.
Oh no, my gosh.
I think he's most well known these days for his TikTok account. But I know him from back in the day. He used to be kind of affiliated with the UK vlogger scene. And he did like this satirical spin on Vlogmas called Vlogvember. It was like this month where he like vlogged every day, but like as a super, super dumb vlogger. And it was this incredibly meta thing. And I thought it was the most genius thing 8 years ago. So I'm like, it's crazy that he's coming to Melbourne. Because I'm like, this is a man I saw like 8 years ago on a super niche, super funny YouTube series. And you know, that's what happens at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah, that's the wacky, zany stuff you can see over there. Actually crazy though. What the heck? Oh my gosh. But no, that is a hefty list, Tracy. You have bless not just me and Lee, but like the general APN listener demographic as well of what's happening over at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Is this happening for like till the end of April?
It's happening until April the 21st. So get your tickets quick because some of these shows are only running for like a week or so.
Hello, hello, dear listeners. You are listening to Asian Pop Nation right here on Sin. My name is Leisha. No, this is not Tracy. She vanished into the abyss. No, just kidding. I'm filling in for our EP Tracy as we're entering the middle half of today's episode. And before we continue on the show, let's talk through the songs that you just heard, starting with the song titled Thunderbolt, which comes from the Japanese artist Shi, featuring Kei Sugawara. Secondly, we played the song titled Rookie Thief, which comes from the Japanese female artist Yanagi Nagi, and this comes from her album White Cube. And lastly, we played the song titled Subcity Center, which comes from the artist Gestalt Girl, featuring Takeshi Arai. Now, if you were tuning in earlier on the show, and you better have been, I was kind of yapping about this certain music festival that happened in Australia called Sold Out Festival, and one of the Asian acts that performed there went by the name Twi, and funnily enough, one of our other team members, Lee, got to attend Twi's solo concert that happened in Melbourne, so right now we're gonna hear a little bit of a concert story time from her. So if you listened to our segment earlier, I was giving a little bit of a rundown about a certain festival that happened last month called Sold Out. And, you know, I was highlighting some of my Asian girlies that were there. In particular, this one act, her name is Twi. And not only was she in Melbourne for the Sold Out Festival, but she was actually there for her own concert. And Leah went to that said concert of the Viet American icon legend herself. So, Lee, give us a rundown of what happened at that concert, girl.
I did. I went to that concert. It happened a day before the Sold Out Festival. So,
which is crazy. Yeah, her schedule is tight.
And then after the Sold Out Festival, she had like an after party.
Yeah, no, she did. And then right after that to go to Perth for the next like Sold Out one. And then even before she came to Melbourne, she was just at Sydney doing the Sydney, like her solo Sydney
literally
concert.
The day before.
Yeah, so booked and busy.
But the concert was still good. The energy was there. So the venue, I'll start off, it was at the Night Cat in Fitzroy. And I have never been before, but it's actually a really interesting venue because the stage is in the middle. Ooh. So you get a 360 view of her. Like, she gets a 360 view of us. So there's people behind her, to her left, right, and in front. And I found that so cool and interesting. I lined up an hour before doors open, which honestly is not that early for an artist like her.
which is huge, right? So when we got there, it was like probably like 20 people in front of us, excluding VIP people. So like when we got in, the place was empty. Like we stood in a pretty good location, pretty close to the front. We stood right behind the VIP people and the concert starts. Demographic of the crowd was, I'm going to say like Asian women, mostly like young Asian women. Yeah, so people like me, haha. But I went with my friend who was not an Asian woman. He was an Asian guy, but he was like young as well. So it was like everyone was like, I'm going to say just either 18 or like just above 18.
Very like Rent Perez reminding to me. Yeah,
that's right. So anyways, she had an opener and her name was Maya Hirasado. And she does R&B soul music. She is a Japanese native who grew up in Australia. And yeah, she had like really good music. I like her energy. I checked out her music after. Very nice vocals. And then Twee did not come out yet. Her DJ came out. And he was like the second opener. I forgot his name. I'm so sorry. But he played like a lot of like club remixes sort of. So it was like so hype. We're all like jumping and stuff. But finally, the star of the show, Twee. So because of how the stage works, there is no like backstage. She's just in the crowd with us. And then she walks up on stage. Well, like, wait, she was right next to us the whole time, but...
Oh, girl.
Yeah. Anyways, her stage presence immediately is just, like, change. Like, you can tell she's, like, a superstar on the stage. Yeah, she played, like, a lot of her hit songs. I was honestly stressed. Like, I was listening to her set list because I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm not going to know any, like, of her older songs.
Your
like,
homework, yeah. Yeah,
so I was doing my homework before, but, like... I knew all the songs that she played anyways, so I am not a poser, guys.
Real fan alert, Lee, right here.
But I was hoping she would play my favorite song, but she didn't.
Which one is it?
Which is called Don't Miss Me Too Much.
Wait, really? Isn't that like one of her more recent singles as well from late last year?
Okay, I'm pretty sure she didn't play it. But because, yeah, anyways, this is my favorite song, so she did not play it. She pretty much played more of her I Hope You See This album.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah,
and also like her Girls Like Me Don't Cry album as well, because this is her Girls Like Me Don't Cry tour.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so... That's fine. She played a song that was unreleased. It was one of those songs where the artist would be like, all right, guys, I say this and then you say that. And it would be something, something, hair down, something, something, waist down.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't even go there, but I know.
Oh.
No, it's a song she's been teasing on her TikTok for like a good few weeks now. So I've heard that hair down thing and I was praying she would do it at Sold Out. Girl, she didn't. Oh, so no. I'm emo about that. So congrats,
get wrecked. Get wrecked.
You won. Congrats.
I heard it in real life.
Did she sing it like the full thing?
No, she only sang the chorus. And it was so funny because after like a few times of singing the chorus, she was like, all right, guys, that's all that you're getting. Like, no more.
Oh my God, she's really gatekeeping that song. Even on TikTok, it's just the chorus like snippet too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, concert was good. I really liked the energy she had. Oh my God, this is my worst nightmare. And not that I would ever be in that situation, but she brought up a fan from the stage to sing with her.
Oh, like
the fan forgot the lyrics. And I felt so bad for her. But Twee was like, she was so funny. At the start, she was like talking to her like face to face. She's like, it's okay, I will help you. And as soon as the music dropped, like she started like dancing in a very seductive way in front of her fan. So it was like, whoa, she's getting a show right now. But then, yeah, they sang together. It was really cute. But then she forgot the lyrics. And I think she was like because she was like really nervous, obviously.
Yeah, of course. You're like on stage with a bunch of eyes on you and Twee, mind you, right next to you.
But yes, if you went to Twee and you're listening to this right now, hey, I was on the corner where she was singing to a random guy. I was right next to her, him. But yes, please let us know. I don't know if you listen to her music. If you want to go to her concerts, you should go, by the way.
Yeah, get into her music. It's good R&B stuff, man. Oh my gosh. You are listening to Asia Pop Nation right here on Sin. My name is Leisha, filling in for our EP Tracy. And if you're just tuning into our show right now, you might have just missed three incredible tracks that just played on our show. But don't worry, I'm about to fill you in on all the stuff that was played earlier. Starting first with the song titled Stalking, which comes from the artist Fisherman featuring Illboy and PH1. Secondly, we also played another collaboration track, this time coming from the Japanese artist Ayumu Aimatsu featuring Max, with the song titled Obsessed. And lastly, we played the song titled Dumb AF, which comes from the Taiwanese artists Joyce and Dina. Now, if you've been listening to this particular episode, you would have noticed that we've been chatting a lot about festivals and concerts, just things that have been happening around Melbourne or kind of already had happened. But right now, we are going to be chatting about a show that few of our team members have been watching. And I mean, if you're really into buff men and women on TV wrestling it out and winning a grand prize, maybe this show will be your cup of tea, as right now our team are going to be chatting about the Korean show called Physical 100 Season 2.
So last week I was at work and I got a really confronting message. Actually, no, I got a call from my gym because they were like, you haven't come to the gym recently. Do you want to renew your membership? And I was like, haha, no. But that's kind of a weird timing because Physical 100 just came out with their second season on Netflix. Now, I've seen some of it, but I know that Lee over here has watched the show as well. I'm hoping she will give us a good rundown of what the show is about.
Hey, I have also only seen some of it, but I did watch most of season one. I did not finish it, RIP. But for those that don't know, Physical 100 is this Korean TV show where they have 100 contestants in their top physical shape in like all types of jobs, any race, any gender, any age. And they all compete in a lot of challenges to win, basically, and get cash reward. It got really popular season one because I'm gonna say it's the first Korean reality TV show that kind of blew up like globally as well. This time there's heaps of really interesting contestants. Like we have a ballerino, which is a ballerina but a male version, which I only found out that's what they called. And then we have a random FBI guy from America. His name is Hunter Lee. He's literally American. And then there's another American guy called Gibson, and he's a US Army officer. There is a K-pop guy who is the lead rapper of Golden Child. I'm not sure if you guys know. His name is Lee Jung Jun. This time around, there's also a few CEOs, which is really interesting because there's like a CEO of a food service company and then a CEO of a fashion company. So, you know, when he walked in, he was like decked out in really nice clothing. Oh, by the way, everyone like walks in at the start like wearing their uniform. So there's like people, there's like Olympians, so they have literally like the Olympic like jackets with the Korean flag on it, and people were like, whoa, like they're Olympians. And then there is a cosplayer, his name is Yami, and when he came in he was cosplayed as Zoro. He had like a full wig and everything. It was insane. And then there is a like every Korean person knows this guy, but I guess I'm not Korean, so I don't know. But he is a MMA fighter called the Korean Falcon. And he's supposed to be like super insane because when he came in, he was holding like three belts that you win when you win at like the championship. So he's like got three gold belts, like walking in. He's like buff as heck. So yeah, that's what Physical 100 Season 2 is all about. I've only seen two episodes, so they're still, you know, fighting it out. The second episode, they're doing like a one-on-one match. So it's literally like 50% of them being cut out. But yeah, pretty cutthroat. I like watching it because, you know why.
I was literally going to ask you, Lee, like, what is, for you and Ethan, like, what is the appeal of watching Physical 100? And don't say your reason is because you're thirsting over these hot bodies, these hot Asian men and women.
Well, you know.
Would you say it's the same for you, huh, Ethan? Huh? Or is this just like... Like you mentioned, oh, you were talking about how your like gym membership, you got a reminder about, does it make you go like, oh, I need to start hitting up the gym again. Oh,
I don't plan to go back. I'll be honest with you. But I do agree. It is kind of interesting to see like how different everyone is in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said it before, like there is like MMA fighters and like actual bodybuilders. And then there are just people who are just like fit. Like, yeah. They just, like, gym in their spare time or whatever. Or, like, when you've got, like, a K-pop idol. I think it's an interesting concept. I don't see myself watching more than, like, the one episode that I did, to be honest. But I can see why people would like it.
Yeah, because I've seen a bit of season one. I would say, like, past, like, four episodes in, you kind of get the formula. I don't know if y'all can relate. For me, it's, like, the interesting thing about watching it is just seeing like again people's different professions, but then when they do challenges which test like I guess different sort of abilities, seeing what skills or like professions kind of like shine more. I remember in season one they did this random thing where they have to like hang from like these chains or something and all that stuff, and then people were like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm so shocked that the CrossFitter or like the people who did Pilates are lasting a really long time. And I was like, oh damn, poor strength guys. And they're like, but this guy was an MMA fighter, is getting beaten so quickly. Ah, like that part to me is like very interesting. And also just seeing like YouTubers, like people who are like,
yeah,
content creators rocking up there and is like, I can totally beat this five-star like wrestler champion in this one-on-one battle.
There are different types of strength. Like some people are like more enduring, other people are like more like high impact but lower duration. It depends on how you train as well. So it would be fun to see like a fight where someone is obviously like people think they're less likely to win. Maybe they're a lot smaller, maybe they're not as muscly, but then they win comically against someone who's like this great big hulking chunk of meat. I think that would be really funny to watch.
Oh, a lot of that example happens in season one where a lot of like there's like this one-on-one match near the start of the season where you can choose who you want to be matched up against. And a lot of people would like pick a smaller guy or whatever. And then they end up winning, like the smaller person ends up winning. So everyone's like, whoa, what a ton of events. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, because they not only had to pick like a opponent, but then they pick like between two arenas.
Yeah.
And one is literally you are forced to have to like hand-to-hand combat. And then the other one involves way more adrenaline and stuff because you have to run around this massive like parkour-esque mm-hmm. situation. Yeah, oh my god, I do remember that, Lee.
Yeah, so that's like pretty much like the formula is always the same, but I think it's because each contestant is different. They have really different occupations. But yeah, that's like what makes it interesting for me to keep watching. I do find myself skipping a lot of it because you know how in like Korean TV shows, they're like something would happen and then they'll like
replay it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in different angles in slow-mo several times. And then they cut like to different people
reaction,
like reacting to it.
Yeah.
Girl, I hate it.
Yeah. Oh, that's like where I start skipping. But
oh, it's so common with Korean like variety content. It's just like shivers down my spine every time it happens. It's just very like I would kind of call it like little nonsense, no brain involved type of show, you know? Yeah, so definitely. I think if you listeners just want to see like people butting heads with each other and who's the buffers of the buffers, and I guess like Lee thirsts a little over them. Watch Physical 100! Oh, season 2, baby! Ah. If you were listening to that segment just now and you're kind of now like, ooh, maybe I could sign up for Physical 100. Maybe I could beat out all the competitors and win that bajillion dollar prize. Girl, you might die trying. So salute to you. This is a very weird segue into our next song that we're going to be playing tonight on APN called Die Trying, which comes from the Korean female group aespa collabing with Toki Monster. And you're listening to Asia Pop Nation right here on SYN. Hey, you're listening to Asia Pop Nation right here on SYN. My name is Leisha, and if you're just joining in on our show right now, we just played three tracks, starting first with the song titled Die Trying, which comes from The Love of My Life's aespa and Toki Monster. Next, we played the song titled What You Want, which comes from the artist Deb Never with 1999 Write the Future. And lastly, we played the song titled Nothing Mattered, which comes from the Taiwanese male artist Fumon. Now, I feel like all these songs are kind of edging into very emo territory, and I feel like that's a very perfect segue into our last segment of the night, as me and Lee are kind of going to be chatting amongst ourselves about some of our favorite Asian-related pieces of media during the first quarter of the year. And it kind of, I feel like it's a very APN tradition to always do a little wrap-up of things that we like whenever we are about to go on a break. Oh my god. It's only 1 week. Y'all won't even feel it. Just re-listen to our podcast content if you miss it so bad. But anyways, let's cut to me and Lee from the past as we're going to be chatting about some of our favorite stuff that came out from the first quarter of the year. Hey, listeners.
Hey.
It's just me, Leisha, and Lee over here. And we are, it seems crazy to do a topic like this when it's just the two of us, because usually I feel like we do this with like our wide range of cast members. But basically, if y'all were not aware by now, if you clicked to watch this episode on podcast mode, you may already notice. But if you're listening to this live, this is our last show
of the season, by the way.
Clickbait! Last show of the first season. Yes, we'll be going on a little 1 week break after this. And I guess as a way to like cap off season one, me and Lee just wanted to talk about some things that we just generally enjoyed or thought were like very memorable. Now, so Lee, tell me what was some of like your highlights for this like first quarter of the year.
Oh, so if you have been listening, listener, I went to Japan in the first quarter of the year, which I'm sure everyone and their moms also went to Japan. But I went for 3 weeks, which is like a pretty like a good chunk of time. So that was really amazing. But like, I've been to Japan before, but this time it was sort of like me as an adult with my friends exploring places we were legally allowed to go to now, and like we can buy whatever we want, eat whatever we want, go wherever we want. So this was like a really nice experience.
Yeah, you got to live like an adult, like traveling, having adult money, and again, being able to do what you want.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, that was one thing that was super memorable for me. I wish I could go back right now. But another favorite of mine, which I just recently got into or back into, is the game called Dave the Diver.
Oh, God. I only say, oh, God, because I've heard this woman talk about this game several times to me, but Lee, tell the class about Dave the Diver.
Haha. So the reason I'm talking about this game on Asian Pop Nation is because it's developed and published by Mint Rocket, which is a development company which is under Nexon, a South Korean video game publisher, which they've done Maple Story is their most
God.
Yeah, right. It's their most like famous game, pretty much. I didn't play it. It was ahead of my time. But that game was like a pixel game. This Dave the Diver is also like a pixel game, but it's pretty much an action adventure RPG single player where you are playing as Dave, who is a diver. And how the game works is in the daytime, he would go down, dive, catch fish. And then in the evening, he runs
and manages a sushi shop. So there's like, yeah, you have to like catch fish, prep for that, like create the menu of what you want to sell that day. Like, what drinks do you want to put out? But then there's also like a little like background story where there's like these mermaid people and he has to help them and all that. Anyways, the story is amazing. There's all these like boss battles. One of them is like Kraken. You have to fight Kraken. And then like a reward is you get like one of his tentacles and then you can sell that at the restaurant. But yeah, it's like, it's really fun. I actually finished a game like a few hours ago.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. Yeah, I didn't know I was on the last quest mission thing, but I guess I finished the game and it was cool. It was epic. There's still like you can still play on.
Oh, after okay. You
finish a story. Yeah. So that's the two things that have been consuming my life in the first season. Over to you, Leisha. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl. Oh, my gosh. Some stuff that I thought was personally very memorable for me. Firstly, not to, you know, toot our own horn here at APN and be, you know, flexing about amazing content that we do over here. But I would say one of the things I actually really enjoyed was when we did our Crazy Rich Asian special back in like February, which is kind of funny because I don't think we originally planned it to coincide with like February, aka like Valentine's Day and Crazy Rich Asians being a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that was like what the intention was, but that kind of like tied it all together and it just gelled really well. It was, I would say, probably the first time we even did a whole show dedicated to just like one piece topic of media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was Crazy Rich Asians, a movie that has come out like a bajillion years ago already. So that was really fun. It felt like we were doing like a YouTuber video essay moment, but in audio form. I would love us to do a deep dive on other stuff. Like that, we imagine we did a deep dive on like, girl, I don't know, like you and me liking EXO back in like 2012.
Oh my god, we totally should. That's like, I feel like everyone that's into K-pop in this team has had like a high school phase of K-pop or something like that.
And yeah, exactly. You like a specific group that may not be active anymore or something.
Maybe we'll do that next season.
Yeah, editor who's listening to this, take notes. And then in terms of like a personal favorite that I really liked in this first quarter of the year, I would say one group that has just like been in the back of my mind this entire like first quarter is this Japanese group called Psychic Fever.
Oh.
And I got exposed to them on TikTok because this clip was going viral. And it was like a verse from their song that came out this year called Just Like That, featuring JP The Wave, not our JP, don't get it twisted. it was like a clip of one of the guys' members, his name is Jimmy, and it was his verse. And I was like, whoa, this is so sick, so cool. And then I did my background research and I put that song on my playlist. And then I was just nonstop listening to that song. And that group also low-key dominated my mind, in particular, two of the members. Because I'll say for like, I don't know much about J-pop idol scene or like how the groups kind of work there. So I can only base this on my knowledge of how like, I guess like K-pop groups kind of work around. But I guess the thing that really attracted me to this group was that like two of the members are like mixed race. And not just because K-pop, they will have like mixed race idols, but it's usually Asian. Like, and I shout out to the Asians. I don't hate them. I love them. but that is the typical like mixed race that you would see is like somebody who's like half Korean and half white. But in this case, two of the members, one of them, his name is Wisa, and he's like, so he's like born and raised in Japan. Yeah. But his mom is Moroccan and his dad is Korean.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa, I know. It was so like, so when I watched this music video for the first time and saw his face doing the verse, I was like, oh, hello. Hey. And whoa. then I heard this other guy in the group whose name is Jimmy, who he is also born and raised in Japan and his mom is Japanese, but his dad is Nigerian. And whoa. His verse was the one that went viral, his rap verse. Yeah, so I was like starstruck from like these two guys. And then obviously I listened to the song and the whole group and I was like, oh my God, I love this song just like that. And the whole group's eating. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm already going to say it now. When Spotify Wrap comes out at the end of the year, I feel like it's going to be in like my top 5 tracks because I just listened to it like every day.
Oh my God. Already. It's just the first quarter, Alicia.
I know, it's just the first quarter. I need to get a group. This is why I'm like, more will come later in the year.
But
I
guess
that's our little Lee and Leisha special, talking about some stuff that we liked in the first quarter in honor of our last episode of the season. But yeah, I guess on that note, goodbye for like a week.
Yeah, we'll be taking a break next week. So
just re-listen to our old show. Old episodes are all on our podcast. If you don't already know, Asian Pop Nation podcast, search it on your favorite podcast platforms. We're there. Coming up next, we're going to be playing the song titled Please Me, which comes from the Tokyo indie band Xie Xie. And this is going to be the last time you'll hear my voice on this episode. So before I go and Tracy sees you at the pearly gates of the end of APN, I don't know why I'm phrasing it like that. I guess I like to say my farewells. And Tracy, we'll see you at the end of this episode of APN right here on Sin.
Hi, this is Tracy from Asian Pop Nation, and as Leisha so eloquently put it, I'm back to usher you through the pearly gates as we finish off the show for tonight. Those last two tracks you heard were Please Me by Xie Xie, which are a Japanese band, contrary to their name, and Graduation by Daito Yamamoto. Thank you so much for joining our Asian Pop Nation team tonight of Lee, Leisha, Ethan, and myself. Tonight we talked through a bunch of events that have happened and are continuing to happen in Melbourne. These include the Sold Out Festival and Twee Concert, which have recently passed, and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which is currently still ongoing until the 21st of April. After that, we talked through Physical 100, which is a Korean reality show featuring a bunch of super ripped people, and we finished off the show with a little segment from Lee and Leisha on their personal highlights from the year so far. So if you're listening on the radio right now and you're interested in revisiting any of that, we'll be uploading the show as a podcast, as always, available on Spotify, Omni, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to keep up with our playlists and announcements. So, it's time to end off the show with one last song. I thought I'd go with something a bit bittersweet this time. This is a song called Blue Salvia by Private. Have a very good night, everyone.